Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in this broadcast of The Love Way. What a privilege to minister the word of God's grace to you in the area of finances, because we need the peace of God in our hearts when it comes to money. You know, money makes out such a big part of our lives that if we cannot get that on the cross, if we cannot put money upon the cross, we will never be healed from our poverty and our poverty mentality. Now, we've had five sessions of really powerful teaching on finances, and I think you need to get a hold of that. You can just send your number with whatever teaching you want, and if you want this series, to the number on the screen. We would love to send it to you. It's for a donation of any amount. Or if you cannot donate, if you really feel you cannot donate, we will send it to you for free. So open your heart and receive this and meditate upon this. Think upon this. And I know that what I've said in the previous sessions might be a little bit radical and out of the ordinary, but it is grace. It is Jesus Christ saving you from your poverty. That's what it's all about. Amen. Now, in the previous session, we were speaking a little bit about contentment. In Philippians chapter 4, from verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then he was not talking about going, conquering nations and those type of things. Paul was talking about having a lot of money and having nothing. And he said, doesn't matter if there's much or little, I can go through it through the anointed one and his anointing, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. So when I've got a lot of finances and I'm prosperous, I can handle that because of the anointing that's upon me and because of the enablement of God's grace. And even if I am poor, I can go through that poverty because God gives me ways by the Holy Spirit and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go through that and to become prosperous again. And I want to say this, and this is a key thing in our lives. You need to know that who you are is not determined by what you own. It's determined by who owns you. Who you are is not determined by what you own, but who owns you. You know, if Leonardo da Vinci makes a beautiful painting, and people could get a hold of that painting, and say it's a beautiful painting, but it's not finished, it hasn't been completed, and there's still a part that must be done, and there's some mud on it, and they discover it in some of the diggings they do, and some building that's dirty. And it could be authenticated as a true painting by Da Vinci. You know what's going to happen? It doesn't matter how the painting looks. It's going to go for millions because of who painted it. So it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter if you've got dirt on your face. If you've got dirt in your life, it doesn't matter. It's all about who made you. Your value is determined by who made you and who owns you and who bought you. Amen. The cleaning up will happen. Now, it's not good to be dirty, talking about sin and those type of things. I believe that we need to walk a holy life in this world, and that the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. So there's the fruit of the Spirit is good fruit. It's love, joy, peace, temperance, kindness, faith, all those things. Good fruit. So God wants us to have good fruit. He wants us to have prosperity. But what we have seen is if we are stained with poverty, so many times we feel we're not really worthy of Christ. And that's not true. That's not true. Don't let the enemy make a mockery out of what God has given you. That's it. Don't do that. Now, I understand if we can make jokes as preachers about things and all of that, that's fine. But don't let that get to you. Don't take that personally. If you have only got a bicycle, man, thank God for your bicycle. That's it. And know that He will prosper you. And that's what we're going to look into. I want us to just pick it up where we left off in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says, let's read from verse 4. Now verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereunto comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothes, let us therewith be content. But they that want to be rich fall into temptation, and into a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, man, that is such a powerful piece of scripture. What Paul was writing to the young man Timothy, which was young and upcoming, he still had a future to build, he had things to do. What he said to him, he says, don't think or get under the teaching that says godliness is financial gain, or gain is godliness. Now, let me put it this way. I believe when we are godly and when we are content with the stuff we've got, there will be great financial gain. And that's what he teaches. He says, be content with whatever you have. Be godly and content, not wanting more. Now, you might say, Bertie, but how can you say that? Now, that is, I'm just saying it the way Paul said it and the way Jesus says it. And I'm not preaching it because it's written. There's understanding behind this thing. If you can be happy with what you've got, number one, you will feel that you are approved of God. Number two, you will feel that you are blessed. Number three, it will not produce a sin consciousness in your mind. Now listen to me. The true worshippers, once purged, would have no more consciousness of sin. Now do you know how many people today, and maybe you are there as well, you don't prosper the way others prosper. You will see maybe one of your school friends that was a good friend of yours, and now he's becoming real prosperous. And you are not. You are struggling. And especially in, then you might feel, what am I doing wrong? Especially in church circles, you might find that somebody in the church that was just as poor as what you are became rich. And now you are thinking, I mean, in the meantime, you were sincere, you were serving God, you were trying everything you could to prosper and to walk in real financial prosperity. You were giving, you were sowing and reaping, you were tithing, you were doing everything, and you are not finding that you prosper as they prosper. They've got a new car and you don't. And now you feel guilty, and you start to do introspection, looking for sin in your life, and all of a sudden you become sin conscious. All of a sudden you ask questions that is law promoting, like, what am I doing wrong so that I cannot prosper? You see, the moment you start to get into that, you are in deep trouble. Now, contentment is a cure for condemnation and sin consciousness when it comes to finances. And it protects you against that. Now, if you can be content with what you have, number one, you'll be God conscious, because you will say, what I have is out of the hand of God. Now, you'll always find the enemy coming in some way, telling you that you've got nothing, and people making a mockery out of what you've got. Don't listen to them. They're just run off your back, having no effect on you, because they are just ignorant, knowing nothing. So, the second thing. First thing, you'll be God conscious. The second thing, you'll have gratitude if you are content with what you have. And whenever you get a little bit increase, you will feel you are greatly prosperous. And that's God's plan for you. So that you can have that emotions in your heart. Let's read it quickly. It says, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So, if you can be godly, what is godliness? Knowing the message of righteousness. Hallelujah. Knowing the message of grace. You cannot become godly without the message of grace. So if you can have godliness and contentment, it is great gain, the Greek word financial gain. So, how does contentment bring financial gain? Let me put it this way. And I've said it in the previous broadcast, I'm just going to use another example. I just feel I want to put an emphasis upon this. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 28. Man, we're going to be blessed out of that. If I'm content with, say for instance, the studio I've got here. Now this studio is in my house. Okay, I don't have a studio that's separate from any other place. The studio with this setting and that setting like many of the other men of God. But this is in my house. And you know what? I'm content with it. I'm happy with this studio. I'm not trying to get another studio. I thank God for this. If I must preach in this studio for another 5 years, thank God. I'll do it. If I must use the camera I've got right now for the next 5 years, bless God. If I cannot have, like other preachers, 2 or 3 cameras, that's fine. I'll use the one I've got. As long as what you can see and hear, and I can minister the Word of God, thank God. I thank God for the one I've got. I thank God for the studio that I have. That contentment brings to my heart blessing and gratitude. Because I believe God gave me a house that's big enough to have this studio in this studio and in the house. Plus 4 bedrooms. I mean, we've got a nice big house. I thank God for that. I see gratitude coming into my heart as I look at this as a blessing from God. I'm not looking at Kenneth Copeland. I'm not looking at Joyce Myers and all these people that's got these big, nice studios and saying, you know, I must get a studio like that. I want one like that. Oh my God, I want it. You know what? I thank God for what I've got. And I cannot be tempted with another one. Now, Bertie, do you want to stay in this forever? No. I feel godly because I am preaching the gospel and because of the message of righteousness. I feel content. I know I'm the blessed of God. And that produces a heart that can easily trust the character of God to what He promised in His Scriptures. He promised in the Scriptures that we will prosper. He promised and said, by grace you've been made wealthy. So, you know what? I cannot get away from the fact that I will have studios like the Copelands or all these. I will have that. I cannot get away from it. It is chasing me. And it's running faster than what I can. It will catch up with me. It's